Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Could you stand with me and we're going to read God's word? They're going to have it up on the screen. Ephesians 1:20 to 23. Why don't we read this together out loud? Can we do that? You good? Awesome. Wonderful. Let's go. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Put your hand on your heart and say, Jesus, quicken me, quicken us, your church, to be your church. Amen. 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 Go ahead and have a seat. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture, particularly in the Message, because I really believe Eugene Peterson, the translator of this, just nailed it. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Now, if you're not familiar with that, what does that word peripheral mean? You think of your peripheral vision, the side, your side vision. In other words, the church, the world is peripheral to the church. The church is the center of God's creation. Can we say that together? The church is the center of God's creation. It is not me. Say, it's not me. I am not the center of the world. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The world is peripheral to the church. That means in some way the church is this nucleus center meant to give life to the rest of the world. And we're going to look at how that looks actually in just a little bit. But if you've been with us, we've been on a series called Spheres, Bridging the Gap Between Sunday and Monday. Maybe you're joining us for the first time. Welcome online. We are so glad that you are tuning in, whether Sunday or some other time during the week. And in the room, we're glad you're here. And today is kind of like a wrap up to the series, but it's actually a launching point for who we are as a church, where we're going as a church, not just for some connect groups in the fall, but the kind of church we want to begin to reorient ourselves to being as God's church in the world. And this is a bit of a different message, and it really is a lead into for where we're going in this next week, but where we're going, most importantly, as a church, where we're kind of making a bit of some course adjustments, just a few tweaks to get more on track with what we really believe God has called the church to be. And you know, when we experience this, what are we talking about? How to bridge the gap between Sunday and Monday? Well, when we experience the wonderful sense of God's presence, like we have in a room like today, when we experience this and it's wonderful, how do we carry this over into Monday? Like, how do you carry this over into biology class tomorrow morning? How do you carry this over into work? How do you carry this over into, oh my gosh, I'm homeschooling and they're all like monkeys on the wall. How do I carry this over into these major changes that are happening at work? How do I carry this sense of peace when I'm meeting with all sorts of clients who are less than peaceful?
How do I carry this sense of God's presence into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, our normal everyday activities? In other words, how can my faith affect the rest of my life? How does the good news, how does salvation reshape? Everyone say reshape. Reshape every part of our life. Jesus is not an add-in. Salvation is not an addition. Salvation in Jesus Christ is meant to reshape our entire person inside, but also our entire external world. If the world is peripheral to the church. And so ultimately, the question we're asking, what is salvation for? What is salvation for? So, we're going to take a look at how this works. We've got some visuals. Some of these are ours. Most of these are not. Thank you, Bible Project, for the images that were from one of their videos. You can check it out. And Bible Project, man, if you do not follow those guys, I encourage you. They are some of the best theological teachers on the planet. Because it's like there's so much video. It's awesome. They can condense literally 12 hours of teaching down into a 6-minute video. And you're just going, oh my gosh, I get it. But these are some images from one of their videos called Heaven and Earth. And so, here we go. I'm going to walk you through this. This is what salvation is like. This is what the bigger picture story is like. And so, listen, so what does this actually mean? How does this all work? So, well, number one, God made the heavens and the earth. Now, heaven is not this kind of weird, esoteric place somewhere off in the Netherlands that we might go when we die. Heaven is just another word for God's space. It's a place where God resides. Heaven is a way. So when we see the word heaven in the Bible, we're not talking about somewhere out there, somewhere where it's referring to God's space. It's a space that we don't quite understand because we haven't been there. But earth, so heaven is mostly the unseen realm of this world that is very much part of this world. Now, earth, on the other hand, this is a part we get. It's a part we live in. This is a part we see, we hear, we smell, we touch, we taste. The earth is what we are familiar with. But then, so this is how, number two, God originally designed heaven and earth united. This is what we see in creation. Genesis 1:1, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so there's this uniting of heaven and earth, and we also see this in the entire creation story. Because in creation, creation is literally this created temple that God created to fill with his presence. That's what creation is. And God intended to fill creation with his presence. Through us, through humans, through his image bearers. That was the original purpose of mankind when God created man and breathed into them his breath. And he said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created them. He created them male and female. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That is not just talking about having physical babies. It's fill the earth with the goodness and the presence of God. But what happened when humanity chose to reject God and do life their own way, that's when a separation took place. Now, God's space has remained unchanged. It's still filled with his presence. It's still filled with beauty and God's goodness and God's rightness and God's justice. But earth, however, as we can attest, yes, it is now filled with ugliness, sin, and corruption. Lots of injustice. Yes? Can we agree? Yes, there's a lot of beautiful things. It is not totally gone to hell. And actually, a lot of the beauty, a lot of the goodness, a lot of the justice that we do get to experience is a direct result of the church. And we're going to see how that played out. But number four, God was not content to just let creation, all of earth, fall to pieces. And just wait and kind of burn it up someday and start all over. That was never God's plan from the beginning. So Jesus, God in the flesh, came in a physical human body. So get this. Heaven came into a physical body. And he came to heal and restore what was broken. In this picture, you can see Jesus' death on the cross absorbed sin. It's what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians, where he said, the one who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become God's righteousness. And see, Jesus wasn't just whipped and punished as a substitute victim. That is actually not an accurate picture of what was going on at the cross. It was more the picture of God taking on himself all of the sin and all of the brokenness, absorbing it into himself, and then on the cross, when he died and they put him in the grave, all of the power of that was taken with him into the grave. And what the cross made possible was this: heaven's life could now be released on earth. And not only that, it could keep spreading. And this is what we see. God, what Jesus came to do, his whole life, his death, his mission was about reuniting heaven and earth again. And that's what he did. And see, as we've said in the previous weeks, resurrection, Jesus Christ's resurrection, was never about Jesus is raised so that someday you can be raised and we're going to go to heaven someday after we die. That was never the message. That was never the understanding of what Jesus' resurrection was. Now, that morphed understanding has developed maybe in the last 300 to 500 years, but that was not how the early church, that was not how the followers of Jesus understood resurrection. Resurrection was always about, because Jesus has been raised, God's new creation kingdom has started. And this is why Jesus, when he was here, his whole message wasn't, come follow me so you can go to heaven someday when you die. It was, no, I've come to bring eternal life. The kingdom of heaven is arriving right now. The kingdom of heaven, life, is arriving right now. God's justice is arriving right now. God's goodness is arriving right now in me, Jesus was saying. And this is what he was meaning when he read Isaiah 61 one day in the synagogue in Luke 4:18, where he said, he opened up the scroll and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bring release to the captives, to set the oppressed free, to bring sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus closes it, and then he says, today this has been fulfilled in your midst. That is good news. Yeah, you should get excited about this. This might be going whoosh over your head. I know you might not be getting this. But this is what we get excited about. This is what we're to get excited about. I know you cheer louder than this at the sports events, guys. I see some of you. Your kid gets that goal. Or Connor McDavid gets a goal. You are going nuts. You're like just bumping each other and whoa. This is better. Infathomably different. And we need to remember we are kingdom people and not just Canadians who are calm until we have a beer in our hand and we're at the stadium. There's nothing wrong with that. Get excited, but get excited about Jesus. Get excited about a reality that is greater than the brokenness of the world that we do life in every day. And so Jesus' message, his resurrection, was this signal that God's new world, that in the Jewish understanding, they knew God, eventually, God was going to return to earth, his kingdom was going to come, and everything that was wrong was going to be made right. Now the problem was, it wasn't actually a problem, it was the biggest surprise, this happened before the end of time. It happened in the middle of the story, it happened in the middle of time. That God showed up and his new creation kingdom program was starting. Now, it wasn't here fully. It was what's called the now and not yet of God's kingdom, because we look around, there's a lot that's not working right. That's called the not yet. But there is a lot of the now that is here and now. So what does this mean for us? Okay, here we go. Well, Jesus commissioned us to go on and carry on his mission. In John 20, 21, he said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Okay, we got a good picture up there. Good. See all those little crosses up there? This is a mission of every Jesus follower. You are a follower of Jesus. This is what it means to be saved, is to recognize that we don't just say yes to Jesus and then kind of wait around, kind of fumble through life and like hope we're being better and trying to be good until we die and, you know, hope we did the right thing and or maybe Jesus comes back. But no, it's this thing we carry. We have been sent on mission. As the Father, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. So where has he sent us? In our everyday spaces. The spheres of influence that God has assigned to us. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10:13. Paul is writing, he says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the sphere of service. Can you say that? The sphere of service. The sphere of service God himself has assigned to us. Can you say this? God has given me a sphere of influence. It's, look at this, it's a sphere that also includes you. Now these spheres of influence, it might be work, it might be school, it might be the activities you're involved in, it might be the business you own, or it might be your environment where you carry out a lot of your activities, it might be the stage of life you're in. But these spheres of influence are what God has assigned to us. And some of us have smaller spheres of influence. Some of us have larger spheres of influence. That's not the point isn't how big or small. Now, in our world, we think bigger means better. It does not in God's economy. In God's kingdom, bigger does not mean better. In fact, when you start talking about the kingdom of God, all of the instances Jesus used were tiny little things. Yeast. Have you ever heard of baking? Yeast is so small. Seeds. A pearl. Little things. Our world says, bigger, wow, you're awesome. You got 10,000 followers on, oh man, they must be the person to follow. God's going, no. Our spheres, it's not the point of the size. The size isn't the point. The point is what we do with that sphere God has assigned to you. Students, the point isn't, oh man, how are we going to make it through school? No, the point is, how are you using your sphere called school right now in this season of life in a way that reflects God's life? Are we using our sphere for our glory or for God's? And see, as followers of Jesus filled with his life, we are now meant to keep spreading that life into all the different spheres. In fact, Romans 8, Paul talks about, he says, all creation is groaning. He says, all creation is groaning, waiting for humanity to step into the responsibility and bring God's healing power into the rest of the world. Now, society is also described as being made up of different spheres or different sectors of influence. Now, depending on what circle you're in, depending on what class you took in university, if you studied sociology, or depending on maybe different other experiences where you've maybe heard about the different sectors of society, or there's a lot of ways of describing them. We're going with this one. There's sectors. There's the good, which involves moral ethics and social mores. The true, which involves knowledge and learning. The beautiful, which involves creativity and design. The just and well-ordered, which involves political and civic life. The prosperous, which involves economic life and business. And then the sustainable, which is the natural environment. Now, here's the thing. While those sectors might be man-made, and they often do not reflect God's nature, we'll take something easy. Let's talk about just and well-ordered. How many of you ever had to interact with an agency and have been on hold and then told that you need to call back again tomorrow at a different day? Not exactly well-ordered. Hello. We could just kind of go, if you had a newspaper You could go flip it open blindly and put your finger down and probably hit an article about some kind of injustice that's not been handled properly. And so while these sectors are man-made, and while they often don't reflect God's nature or actually God's heart for people, they're not evil, and they're not inconsequential to God's purpose. See, Colossians 1:20 says, through him, through Jesus, God intended to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. See, the whole goal, God's mission, and why Jesus came was to restore all of creation. Not just, and when we talk about creation, see, God's idea of creation is not just the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the flowers and all of the natural dirt stuff. See, God always wanted a partnership with man. And so God came to restore creation. Look at what it says. God came to reconcile all things to himself, things on earth or things in heaven. And so earth, meaning the creation, even that man is made. So in other words, what Jesus came was to restore, to reconcile, to make right, even the man-made creation things that we have made that are broken, that are not working right. So, are cars and the gas they consume evil? No. But maybe the way we're working to try to get the fuel needed could be done in a better, more sustainable way. Yes? That's part of redeeming creation. The answer isn't to get rid of fossil fuels and everything else. The answer is proper stewardship of something that is currently broken. Why did God create the stuff and put it in the earth for us? Not to rape the earth, but to properly steward it so it reflects God's purpose. I hope you're tracking. I need a drink. Second Corinthians. See, God's goal was to restore all creation to its God-intended purpose, and he's now doing that through us. God is not the genie waving his magic wand and going poof. No, God's going like, you're going to work this. I'm going to work with you guys. This is why Jesus came to live in us. Not just to give us our ticket to heaven when we die, but he came to live in us and through us so that by his power, we can now begin to release God's life, the life of heaven, the life of new creation now in this world. 2 Corinthians 5:18, everything is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. One scholar put it this way. They said, the attitudes and behaviors of humans either reflect God's character or they hide his image. I'm going to read that again. The attitudes and behaviors of humans either reflect God's image, they reflect God's character, or they hide his image. So now, here we go, number 8. For many of us, our sphere of influence is also within a particular sector in society. You might be a teacher. You might be a student. You might work in justice. You might play on a team. You might have a passion. Maybe you own a business. You might have a passion for justice. You might have a passion for the arts. You might have a passion for design or any of these other different sectors that we talked about. And our spheres of influence in these sectors of society, we have an opportunity now to spread God's life, heaven's life, into these spheres for their flourishing. There we go. You are a purple dot in a red world. And this is what Jesus talked about when he said the prayer he gave his disciples was, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. This is how you pray. God, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Your will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. I live in a red world. God, may the kingdom of heaven, a purple dot, begin to overtake all of the red in this world. Now, as an individual, this can be overwhelming, but consider what happens when we come together with others. We intentionally come together with others within a specific sphere teachers specifically coming together to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to build friendship. Our kingdom, the influence we have when we come together is so much greater to bring change than when we're just by our little lonesome in our little sphere of influence, doing our little life. And the rest of the world, our life doesn't, there's not much change. And this is where we're landing on. Our spheres groups is simply a one little kind of tip of the iceberg of where we want to start with an initiative to become God's church in a way that we live day in and day out, bringing this life that we have been given some way into the spheres of influence and ultimately into the sectors where we are at. And so what these spheres groups are about, and in a minute I'm going to direct you to a place we can check it out more, but we've been talking about this, but what is this about? The spheres groups is about bringing God's people together, believers who work in, you hang out in, you do life in, or you're passionate about one of the particular spheres. And through these spheres groups, be encouraged, build friendships, inspire, collaborate, and strengthen one another to reflect, here we go, number 11, to reflect God's redemptive purpose, his love for people, and his new creation reality into these spheres where we do life. So it flourishes. So the knowledge spheres begin to flourish. So the beauty spheres, all of you who love design and beauty and the arts and all of this wonderful stuff, that can flourish in a way that brings God glory. So the spheres of justice can begin to flourish. And you think, well, I'm just one person. What difference can that you make? You're exactly right. But again, this is what happens when we come together. And see, this is what salvation is about. N.T. Wright, scholar and theologian, he said, God is putting things right in this world by filling it with the presence of Jesus through his body, the church. I'm going to read Ephesians 1:20 again. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death, set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power exempt from his rule. Not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has a final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Look at this last part. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. That is who we are. This isn't just some, oh, that's just some nice poetic metaphor. No, Paul actually meant that. We're to go out and fill God's world with his presence as the church. And so the church gathering together, when we gather like this on a Sunday, this is like the inhaling of the body where we inhale the life of Jesus Christ. We come in and in the atmosphere of our praise and worship through his word, through our connections, our relationships together, we inhale life. And when we go out, we are exhaling as a physical body, giving expression to the life of God. So I want you to think of spheres. We've talked a lot over the last several years about spiritual practices. Spiritual practices like reading the Word of God, scripture before phone in the morning or before technology, prayer, our worship, our giving, our serving. All of these are spiritual practice. Sabbath is a spiritual practice. Silence and solitude. Spiritual practices are things that we engage in to help position us in a certain way so that God's forming work can take place in us. Think of spheres, these groups, as spiritual formation or as a spiritual practice to help train our hearts to the reality of Jesus' presence with you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wherever you are at. Because he is. But I know the reality of life sometimes, the normal pressure of running a business, the challenges of being in an environment where you might be the only Jesus follower and it is a tough, cutthroat industry, the pressure of being at school and you're the only one in your friend group who even knows Jesus, The pressure of working in an environment like justice where literally your life is on the line. A lot. Or in any other industry where you are working through a broken system and you are so frustrated and you're like, God, I just don't even, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm just going to do what I need to do and try to sort it out later. And it's easy to forget that Jesus is with us. It's easy to forget that there's a life flow in me that is meant to flow out. And while I might be one in my industry, I might be one in my sphere, there are others at some point. And I am here because God wired me in a certain way. God put me here in a certain way to release his life, and that can make a difference. And so we simply are working to create this group environment to bring together people in like sectors to encourage, to inspire, to strengthen, and maybe get some creative ideas on how life could flow in that sector. To retrain us in our instincts to remember, I'm not just at work for myself, I'm here for God's purpose. You know, it's kind of like this. I heard this illustration. I just thought this was so beautiful. I don't know if you've ever gone for coffee, Starbucks, someplace, especially a place with barista. Oh, thank God for baristas. Not necessarily Starbucks, but you know what following Jesus is like? You know, you come. God is no respecter of persons, and God is like, he is like the most excellent barista standing behind. He knows exactly what you need. He serves up that coffee with the most beautiful little decorative foam thing, design. And he smiles and he's like, here's your coffee, enjoy it. And you know, it's in a way, it's a picture of the gift of salvation that God, he offers. He offers you so much better than a great coffee. He offers you life. He offers you everything. He offers us everything we do not deserve. He offers you what you do not earn. But what salvation is when we go from being the consumer, experiencing the blessing of what God offers. And salvation is going behind the counter. We move from being consumer to server. This is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to be saved. This is what it means to have a life surrendered to Jesus. Jesus offered healing. He offered friendship. He offered encouragement to the crowds. Not all of them followed him. Not all of them believed him. In fact, some of them were the ones who would want to kill him later on. But salvation life and what it means to live as a follower of Jesus is we move from being the consumer on the receiving end to the blessings of God and the good feelings that Jesus gives us and the warmth and the comfort, and all of that is what he so freely gives. But following him, following Jesus, is we come around the counter, we rub shoulders with the Father, and now we start to see the world from his perspective. And if you've ever had that experience from being on the counter to moving on the other side, it is bizarre what maybe 24 inches or 30 inches, what a different perspective that is. I remember the first serving job I had. I'd gone into the restaurant quite a bit. But man, when you see it on the other side, it's like, whoa, this is like a different world. And all of you that serve, you understand that. But there's something so different about this experience of stepping behind. What I want you to do, they're going to put the QR code up on the screen, and I want everybody to pull out your phones if you could. We'll just take a minute, and then we're going to wrap up. And just click the group thing, and our spheres groups are starting on Tuesday. And we'd love, there's different groups that are going to be happening on the 3rd of the month. We've already heard all of that. But what I would love to focus on, what would really help us, is to get an idea, just so we can really prepare for Tuesday night. Which sector connects with you the most? And if you're not like, well, I don't know what I'm passionate about, just start with where you work. If you're really confused, you're like, confused, I got conflicting passions. Start with the sphere that you maybe spend the most time in, or you have the most passion for making a difference in. and just hit it. You can scroll down on there in the Spears groups and just click on. Don't overthink it. This isn't good. You're not signing your life away. You're not going to be in a group that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in the wrong group. Now I got to stay in this for the rest of my life. That's not what this is. This is simply to help us prepare and get an idea of, because we really believe this is not just a program we're starting in the fall. This is a shift that we're making as a church to become more intentional. Number one, about equipping the church to be the church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday out in the world. But to also gather intentionally to be strengthened so that we can represent him well. I would like to invite you to stand if you could. If you haven't already, Phil, I'll just take a minute, finish what you need to check. And I'm going to pray. Can we just close our eyes? God, thank you. Just close your eyes and just hang for just a moment. I'm going to read Ephesians 2:10. It simply says, he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The work he's gotten ready for us to do. Work we better be doing. And can I ask you, if you just, with your eyes closed, just put your hand on your heart. Can we just hang for a moment? I just pray this prayer with you. Just say, Jesus, would you touch my heart in a new way? Holy Spirit, it's only your presence that can transform our hearts. I can turn the light on. Holy Spirit, you're the one that brings courage to the fearful hearts, the weary hearts. And God, I pray that even now. Father, where there's been that feeling of I'm the only one, or feeling so overwhelmed by the disconnect between what is a very real passion and love for Jesus, but the rest of life that just seems so hard to connect to the goodness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and make that connection for us, your people. God, that we would be, oh God, such a living, breathing, active example. God, the conduit of your life and your love in a way that really does transform in ways that are beyond our imagination. God, you said that you would do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we would ask, think, dream, or imagine. And God, I believe that that's what your desire is. And so God, the words that we sang earlier, I surrender. You know, if that's a desire in you, just quietly just say, God, I surrender. God, I surrender. God, we surrender to be your hands and your feet and your heart and your voice. God, to a world that's so broken and lost and hungry and angry and loud. God, you filled us with heaven's life. Holy Spirit. God, I just pray for each and every one of your followers. God, as we go out here, God, I pray that there would be a new awareness. Father, we go back to work, or activities, or school, or home, or whatever. It's got a new awareness of the amazing treasure and privilege that we carry, God, of your life. Got a new awareness that you're with us. A new awareness that, God, it's not about our own strength and power and ability, but God, what you want to release through us in the most unimaginable, simple ways. And I just want to give an opportunity. We're going to pray a final prayer, and it's a prayer of saying yes to following Jesus. You know, maybe you have been a receiver of the goodness of God. Or maybe you've been a receiver of the hardness and pain of life. You know, there was a hope that Jesus came to bring to you today, and it's to give you a brand new hope through Jesus, a brand new start in Him. And it's simply about a Jesus, I say yes to you. I want to become a follower. And I want to invite all of us to pray together online. I want to invite you to pray as well. If we could just pray this prayer. This is simply giving words to how do you follow Jesus. Well, this is where it starts. This isn't the end. This is where it starts. It's saying, Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done to give me new life. Thank you that my sins have been forgiven, so that I could follow you and now carry on the mission you started. I say yes to following you from this day forward. In your name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.